Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome back to Cincinnati. It's good to have you here. And with all the conversation going on at the break, everyone seems so excitable. And you wouldn't know that we're facing budget cuts, would you? But great to be here with you and to give you an update on our media work of the last few weeks or so. I would like to say that God has really blessed us greatly in being able to continue on pretty much as normal, carrying on as normal with our media efforts. And thanks goes to God for that, of course, and for his blessings. And we certainly appreciate that. We also really appreciate the department, our employees, those who are serving with us in doing their part to preach the gospel of God's kingdom. And it's a pleasure to come into the office and work when that's your goal, doing our small part for God in preaching the good news of his kingdom. And with all that's happening on the world scene, even just of the last few weeks, we see how much more God's kingdom is needed, because many people are living in tribulation already. We may not be here in this country, but many people already living in tribulation. I might add that we have two new employees as of Friday morning. So their first full day in the office is today. Mitchell Moss is going to be our internal publications managing editor. United News managing editor is Mitch Moss. Of course, he also helps with the layout of World News and Prophecy and the Camp magazine, the Festival Housing brochure, and other publications. So that's Mitch, working full-time. And also, we have Nick Bizik is going to be our publications proofreader. So Nick will be the key proofreader for the Good News magazine, World News and Prophecy, Vertical Thought. He'll also be proofreading and editing and copy editing the personal correspondence as well. He'll be an extra step in the process for personal correspondence. So that's Nick Bizik. And so he's beginning this morning his first full day on the job as well. So just a snapshot for you of a few things that are going on in the department. Obviously, we can't cover it all in 15 or 20 minutes, but I might give you a few highlights as we go along. A lot of people have asked about the Kingdom of God seminars that we announced at the January ministerial conference. We are underway in planning those. At the moment, we are at the stage of developing the SBS statements for all 12 lectures. As you may recall, we're planning to have four special Sabbaths over the course of about 16 or 18 months. And on each of those four Sabbaths, there'll be three 50-minute seminars or lectures. And there'll be a break in between where the members will serve a light lunch for the attendees. But three 50-minute seminars, and that'll happen four times. So there are actually 12 lessons or 12 lectures altogether that will roll out over the course of about 18 months. We're at the SPS stage right now, developing the specific purpose statement for each lecture. And then we will develop the outlines for all 12 lectures, and then finally the full syllabus and curriculum. We have 8 to 10 reviewers on the team right now that are helping us with this and getting their feedback as we move forward. So that's the Kingdom of God seminars. They are under development. The original goal was to launch in May. That may be a little bit tough to do by May, but we'll see how we do. If not, it'll be soon after that. So what we will be launching in May is our new United Church of God website. That is on track, that is on target. The new UCG.org website. And as you've heard before, it's a totally new approach to what people will see when they come to our website. It's customizable by our user for what they're interested in seeing and reading. They will have their own user account and their own profile so that when they log on to our website, What they find of interest is what they're going to find. So it's possible for every user to have a different experience when they come to our website. What I see when I log on as a home page may be different to what you see when you log on as the UCG.org homepage. So it'll be customizable by our users. And we're aggregating our content from all of our websites into one. We have about 12 websites altogether right now. And, of course, the main ones are goodnewsmagazine.org, Vertical Thought, World News and Prophecy, This is the Way, Virtual Christian Magazine. Altogether, we have about 12. We're going to aggregate the content into one at ucg.org. If people go to those other domain names, there'll still be material there, but as soon as they start to use the site, they're going to end up at ucg.org. And so if someone is searching, for example, on a prophetic subject or maybe about the Sabbath or the holy days, the whole page will refresh with that information. And it will pull in a video about the Sabbath from Beyond Today. It'll pull in an article from Vertical Thought about the Sabbath. It'll pull in a Good News Magazine article about the Sabbath, a commentary about the Sabbath, maybe an article from United News about the Sabbath. So it's going to aggregate content from everything that we've done. And, of course, there are thousands and thousands of pages of information. We have an incredibly content-rich site. And not only that, people can also start to make friends with others with similar interests. They can also contact the authors of various articles who will also have a profile, can interact with our writers. So a good news reader that has an interest in a particular subject, maybe he likes to read Robin Weber's or Darris McNeely's material from, you know, mostly from World News and Prophecy magazine. They can actually join a social network with them and start to build a relationship with our authors. The new site will be very relationship-oriented, trying to have our readers make connections with those who are writing our material. And even to the point of liking, like you see on Facebook, certain articles and authors, and interacting with others who have similar interests when it comes to the truth. So the new website is launching in May, and that is on schedule. Yes, Mr. Holliday.
Will you put out a video that can be played in the churches?
Yes, we will. It's under production. The video is under production. Rudy Rangel, who's running the camera today for these presentations. Rudy and Jamie Schreiber recorded material last Wednesday evening, actually. And myself and Aaron Booth and Tom Disher recorded some information about the new website. And it's going to be turned into about a five-minute clip for people to watch. It can be played at church. It'll be on the website. And it will be an introduction to the new site. So, yes, a video is being produced about it. And at the General Conference of Elders, we're going to have a plenary session. That's what's being planned if the schedule's approved. A plenary session for about a half an hour for everybody to see, all the elders and wives there, what is going on with the new site, so that when they go back to their congregations, they can explain it as well. So we're having a big rollout of this.
Widely used here and within other churches of God, or is it something that is unique to us?
No, this will be very unique to the Church of God community, the way this site is laid out. It's very much a social networking style site, but with the core material being our doctrinal Kingdom of God gospel preaching effort. Yeah, it will be very different. I might mention that Media and Communication Services is currently right now about 10% under budget for the year to date. We've been holding expenses as best we could, but not cutting critical programs. We are moving forward with all of our publications as planned, whether it be the Good News, whether it be World News and Prophecy, our internal publications. But we've managed to keep expenses about 10% under budget so far, and a lot of that is through travel expense and salaries and wages is where we're saving some of the money right now as far as Media and Communications is concerned. One update for you on Beyond Today. Gary Petty asked not to be involved with recording programs for a couple of months because he has several congregations. He got a couple more than he had before. So Gary Petty asked to be off the schedule for a couple of months on Beyond Today. So at the moment, Steve Myers and Darris McNeely have been doing the latest recordings for January, February, and March. But I might point out we have a plan for April that includes Gary Petty. And we're going to send a crew down to San Antonio, Texas, and record three new programs with Gary in front of his congregation. There will be three 25-minute programs that he'll record over the course of about 2 hours on the Sabbath. And there'll be three separate subjects that can be related, but they'll also offer three separate booklets. So that they're three standalone programs that can air then maybe in May or June. What we want to try is recording a program in front of an audience. And Gary Petty does shine when it comes to preaching in front of a congregation or a group. So we're going to try that. Three programs down in San Antonio. The date on the calendar right now is to go down for April 9th. And we're going to take our equipment from here, our lights from here. We'll drive a van down with a crew of about five guys. In fact, they're all excited about a road trip now.
You know.
Roadies. So, yeah, Rudy's our roadie. Take a few best boys along, some cameramen. But in order to save costs, we're not going to fly down and get hotels and all that. We're going to drive a van down and take turns driving and sleeping. So, but it should be fun. So that's what's on the books for Beyond Today, getting Gary Petty back into the mix. So it should be fun. So just something to be praying about, that it works well. One advantage of this, of course, is that our growing audience on WGN will start to realize, yes, these guys are pastors. They do have congregations. We do have churches. And maybe it'll encourage some of our longer-term viewers, those who have been watching now for a while, to maybe think about what it would be like to come visit one of our congregations. So you never know. It might just show another side to United.
Peter, will there be sermon-type presentations, or will there be lecture-type presentations?
Gary is still working on the outlines, so I don't know exactly what style they'll be. But they will be much along the lines of what you see on the program now. It'll be a topic. It may be a little bit more preachy than lecture. But and the idea will be there'll be 3 8-minute segments, just like normal. And Gary will say now back to the Beyond Today studio for today's literature offer. Then Gary or Steve can then mention which booklet we're offering for this topic. Then turn it back to Gary in San Antonio for the next 8-minute segment.
You've got to cut from the audience back and forth.
We can use some audience reaction shots and things like that. Gary's going to have a combined service as well with several congregations. That's the goal right now on April 9th. Another thing we're doing with Beyond Today is we're planning on sending out a letter to as many of our subscribers as we can about Beyond Today being on WGN. And this is from Mr. Luca. I might just read the first paragraph. As a reader of the Good News magazine, published by the United Church of God, you may be familiar with our weekly television program, Beyond Today. However, if you're not a regular viewer, I want to send you my personal invitation to tune in to these inspiring educational telecasts. Each week, Beyond Today provides an excellent opportunity for viewers to better understand the Word of God and His great plan for all humanity. Then he goes on to talk a bit about Beyond Today, reminding them that it airs on WGN every week at 8:30 on Sunday mornings. And then we're going to offer a booklet at the end in the PS, How to Understand the Bible. So included with this letter will be a card to return. I'd already have their address pre-printed here that shows through the window when we mail it, offering to send them a free copy of How to Understand the Bible, together with a subscription to the Good News magazine if they're not currently a subscriber. Because we may also send this to previous subscribers who did not renew and try and get them to sign up for the Good News again. And in addition, one of these four cards will also be included in the mailing. One of these Beyond Today cards that can go in their fridge or whatever. So there'll be a card, a booklet offer, and a letter from Mr. Luca going out to as many subscribers as we can. We do have some subscriber development budget left, a few dollars to spend. The largest subscriber development mailing we've ever done in United was our last one, which went to 200,000 readers in the U.S. So I'd like to at least match 200,000 readers if we can, if not maybe go to 250,000 readers. Together with the printing, the postage, and all of that, you're looking about a dollar per person, so it's a $200,000 project. But we do have some funds available. Mr. McNeely?
Will this include the Canadian audience as well?
This letter is not going to, it will only be to our U.S. subscribers.
Since we have Canadian television, why would we want to send it to our Good News base up there as well?
Money.
Oh.
Now, if Mr. Wasselkopf is listening in on this video, if he would like to piggyback off of this, we could send him the artwork and the materials, and they could do a mailing in Canada if they wished, because it would be seamless. Everything here would apply to our Canadian audience. So, yes. Canadian office, if they want to send a letter like this to their subscribers, they could do that, definitely. Yeah. But it's not in our budget to do it for Canada at this point.
Mr. Barrett, since you're in charge of all this and top of it all, why don't you directly pass the information to Tony Wasselhoff?
We can do that.
Yeah, we'll put pressure on.
But the idea is to generate interest amongst our readers. There'll also be a reply envelope included. And often when you include a reply envelope, they send a check or a few dollars to help, with, especially if they request the booklet, often they'll send a few dollars to help pay for it. And often these subscriber development efforts over the course of time end up paying for themselves. And so that's what development is all about, and our advertising. So we're trying to increase awareness of Beyond Today, but also of our booklets, the Good News Magazine, and just remind people that we're here. We write to our donors and co-workers. Actually, we write to our co-workers 4 times a year. Every 3 months, we write them a letter. We have a Good News email list with more than 40,000 people on it. And we do a letter to that list every 2 weeks. An email every 2 weeks to our Good News list, those who have given us their email. And then, of course, we have the other updates to members and whatnot. So it's all part of our subscriber development plan. I have I've been keeping track of letters and comments from our Beyond Today readers. I won't read any here right now, but have quite a file going of those who are really excited about the program, watch it every week, want to donate, want to know where church is. And the Beyond Today television program has picked up the interest from our viewers and readers when it comes to connecting with the church and wanting to be more involved. I'll give you a visual. Here are a few graphs and charts for you to look at that might help. You see some of the statistics from a visual perspective. I just chose 6 different items here for you to see. And there's a few extra copies for people in the back to share as well if they wish. Mr. Holliday?
Peter, has any of the recent difficulties we've gone through affected co-workers and donors? Is that still growing? Or?
Our co-worker and donor list is about the same as it was. It's pretty even keeled. I might remind everybody that our donors and co-workers contribute approximately $2 million a year to the United Church of God. 10% of our budget, sometimes more, comes from our donors and co-workers. And at this point, our donors and co-workers are about the same. They have not taken a hit or anything like that. What you see here on the front of the chart is a representation of our Beyond Today responses for 2010-2011. Of course, July is when we started on WGN. That's when you start to see it pick up. And January is our best month so far. Figures are not in for February yet. But it's nice to see January right at the top. And we're hoping to see this continue to climb as the year goes on for 2011. Over the page, Bonne Nouvelle website visits. That's our French version of the Good News magazine. Good News. And our visits to Bonne Nouvelle have risen sharply in January. In fact, you'll see the last 3 months of 2010, they're already climbing, and then January took a big jump in visits to the Bonne Nouvelle website. The latest issue just went to press, Hopkins Printing, printing it for us up in Columbus, and right now we have about 3,800 being printed. The plan is to do some advertising now for Bonne Nouvelle,
and to raise that up to about 10,000 subscribers in 2011. So we'll advertise in Canada, we'll advertise in France, and some other French-speaking areas. There's an item on our blog, by the way, about this, if you're interested to see who all is involved in Bonne Nouvelle, at realtimeunited.wordpress.com. So one other thing we're doing with Bonne Nouvelle, and also for the first time with Las Buenas Noticias, the Spanish version, is very soon, whenever a new subscriber requests a subscription, with their first copy will be a letter, what we call our intro letter, with a tear-off portion at the bottom requiring them to return the form to say they got the magazine. Now, we've been doing that with the English magazine for years. Not in the U.S., but everywhere we send the English magazine outside the U.S., to areas where that we serve, not to Australia, not to Canada, but let's say someone in Africa requests an English copy of the Good News. With that first issue is that letter telling them they have to return this, tear off the slip at the bottom, saying they got it and that we have their address correct. Because in some of these areas, the mail may not get delivered, they didn't give us the correct address. So if they don't return that card, then we suspend their subscription. Well, we're getting a lot of mail returns, and have been for years, from Bonne Nouvelle. Invalid addresses. And so we're going to, from now on, first of all, do a renewal program. We're going to renew all the Bonne Nouvelle subscribers for the first time ever. And any new subscribers will have to return that card saying that they got it. So we're trimming the list and making sure we have secure subscribers, and then we're going to advertise. Similar thing is being done in Spanish already. And so the intro letter will be included with that as well. Mr. Holliday?
Yeah, I'm just struck here by the French magazine. That has it consistently been this low over the years?
Yes. Yeah, they average about 1,000 subscribers overall, basically.
So there really wasn't a real attempt to build it in the past. We're going to try to do that now.
We're going to try and do that now. Often it was said that the budget wasn't there to do this, but by cutting some of the travel expenses and things, we can put more into the magazine's side of things. Mr. Rhodes.
Yeah, I'm going to French West Africa in a couple of weeks, and I just wondered, are the people there able to easily access everything? Do you know in those countries?
Yes, they do get Bonne Nouvelle. We send bulk shipments of it, a few hundred copies at a time, to French-speaking Africa. So our members get it, yes. For example, when I was in Rwanda a couple of years ago, the latest issue of Bonne Nouvelle was being handed out at church. And everybody was reading it. So, yeah, it does get over there, yeah. Mr. Eddington.
Is the web traffic increase over the last 3 or 4 months, is that coincidental, or do we have any reason to know why?
No particular reason. It just happened, and I don't know why. Yeah. When you go to the next chart, these are visitors by month to members.ucg.org. And it's been encouraging to see over the course of 2010 that the average readership has risen on our members' website. And January for this year started out quite strong as well, being our second biggest month at members.ucg.org. There's a wealth of sermon material there now, a lot of information about the church, the live webcast from Cincinnati every week, twice every Sabbath, for example, and all this has driven up traffic from what I can tell. So that's encouraging to see the members using our website. Over the page, coe.ucg.org, monthly visitors, the spikes are basically when you have council meetings and people go online to read the reports, to check out the videos, to get the council reporters' notes. So you'll see December was way up there, double normal for visits to the council website, people wanting to read about what was going on and read the reports and all. So I think that speaks for itself.
Pay-per-view.
Pay-per-view. And then on page 5, U.S. Good News Magazine subscribers. In March of 2009, we changed from a biannual renewal program to an annual renewal program. So now people have to renew their subscription every year instead of every 2 years. And so that immediately started to trim the number of U.S. Good News subscribers on file. And as you can see, it has consistently gone down every month since, including January issue and the March issue of 2011, the green one there. The reason being that when you renew twice as often, you've got to advertise twice as much to keep your subscription numbers. And we do not have the advertising dollars to advertise twice what we were before. This will eventually level off, and it will reach some kind of status quo, and that's where we'll be unless we add more money to advertising dollars. But it's close to settling out around 200,000 U.S. subscribers or so. But with Beyond Today getting more traction, and we also added some additional print advertising this year, sending out now 10 million pieces instead of 5 million, we may start to see this begin to climb again. But once again, it's taking a downward turn because of the advertising dollars not being sufficient when you renew twice as often. So that explains that for you. And then over the page, the last one I did, United News Circulation. You see that after August, it started to take a dip. And then November, December, and now January for this year, it's getting close to 12,000 copies instead of 14,000 copies. And I would suspect that for February and March, we're going to see it go down even a little bit more yet. And then that will settle out at some figure for United News print run. Mr. Antion.
Peter, can anybody get the United News? In other words, those who have left and said, take my name off the Good News magazine, I don't want to be a member anymore. Do they still get the United News unless they ask to be?
No, they don't. Once you say you're not a member or associated or attending with United, then you don't get United News any longer. And that's why you see that going down. We have a list of those who we consider members or associated with us, and they get United News, they get the Feast brochure, they get the Camp magazine. Members. Mr. Rhodes?
Do we also drop them from the Good News mailing list?
No, they do not get dropped from the Good News unless they ask. Yeah. And some have asked. Mr. Barron?
You mentioned the website from Cincinnati and the reports from that. There are other websites which are locked by a code you can't get into. Mm-hmm. But people are always asking why that has to continue, because there are people in different time zones that sometimes, for whatever snowfall and so on, cannot get rid of services and want to tune in somewhere.
Yeah.
And furthermore, people who were not in the church were often tuning in before we had the code on.
Yeah, let me give you the reason for that. The Council of Elders passed a policy that said that there was to be no live webcasting to the general public. And the reason for that was that often sermon material that was given locally, maybe addressing a local issue or problem, or said something that might be insensitive to the rest of the world, and was felt that it was best to make the webcast only available to the membership of United. And the way to do that was to put a password on it. But then after services, there's a review team that says it was okay. Nothing crazy was said. There was nothing insensitive mentioned. So then it's okay to post it. So immediately after services, if all is well, the whole service can then be posted. But the council passed a policy that says there's to be no live webcasting to the whole world without that review step being there. And we did have reason for it with some things that were said on live webcasts that were insensitive and may have been libelous. So it was decided to have a review before it's posted. Now, the members can get it. What they need to do is ahead of time get the password so that they have it if they get snowed in one weekend. Now, the exception is if you want to do a live webcast, you have to get permission from Ministerial Services and Media and Communication Services. And an exception was made recently for Cincinnati East. So that is why Cincinnati East is doing a live webcast for the whole world to see. Those who speak have to realize that and have to be sensitive to that fact. So an exception was made for Cincinnati East just recently. If other congregations want an exception, they'll have to apply for that. But the material is there for members to view live if they have the password. So that's the reason.
The reason I'm asking is that there are members who feel, since we've got to be transparent and preaching to the world, that putting a password on to block something like that. There are disclaimers on every website. There are disclaimers anyway. This is not the official UCG sanctioned website. But there are people asking about that and wondering about it as well. Even people who are not members of the church for various reasons. Maybe they know the minister in the area. Maybe they whatever. But many times, if you're snowed in, you don't know you're going to get snowed in until that morning. Then you scramble to get the passcode. And it's difficult, it's almost impossible to get to miss it for us to fish around for somebody else.
Keep in mind that our Sabbath services are a private meeting. They're not for the whole world to watch. Mm-hmm. And so often material that's covered could be taken wrong by someone just coming across our website from anywhere around the world. When they suddenly hear a sermon on some subject that may sound crazy to them, that they have absolutely no background on the church whatsoever. So generally our services are for our own people, and for those who are interested in the church already or our subscribers, not for 6 billion people just to have instant access to our services. But once the sermon is reviewed afterwards, and the local review team says, yes, it was fine, there was nothing wrong said. We've even had doctrinal error, and we've said, no, we're not going to post that. Even here in Cincinnati East, we've had some things that were questionable, so we did not post the sermon afterwards. So it's just a safety net. And we have already been sued for things that were said in sermons. United Church of God has been sued. So we're just trying to be very careful. It's a risk management factor as well.
Peter, our services have never been, in my mind, considered to be just for members, because we have a policy that anybody can come, provided they come in peace and harmony. So people show up, brand new people are friendly, so they don't have to go through the ministry.
No. They have a contact or a link with the church in some fashion, whereas just broadly across the internet,
I understand.
You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
But the council could revisit that policy if they wish at some point.
Yeah, that's what I was going to mention. Larry Darden is here, and if the council and I hear Bob, should there be another discussion to revisit that, the reasons why, and is it that big a liability to be more open for anyone to be able to connect in, or should we teach and train our elders and ministers so they shouldn't be up there saying things that are offensive anyway? They really shouldn't to anybody. You can preach the truth. As long as you teach the Bible and teach it strongly, you're okay. But it's when maybe you give opinions and say things about people that you get in trouble. But it's not the strength of preaching the Word of God. I mean, there are a lot of public programs out there, and so maybe it could be revisited.
Even humor, bad humor, that's what really got us into trouble. Just things that were just not quite right,
I'm not giving sources for quotes.
There's different things like that.
So that's another subject, isn't
it? It is another subject for another day.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the background of how we got to this point. It was a policy that was approved by the council in San Diego in 2006 or 2007 when it was done. Mr. Antich?
I just wanted to mention to everybody that I've gotten about 3 or 4 emails from individuals saying, you took off these ABC classes, and they were in the midst of doing something. I kind of wonder if they're not coming from the group that broke away, but nonetheless, they're questioning why we took them off. But I had complaints from individuals saying, why do you have on your website individuals doing classes and so on who are now actively pulling people away from other, from the church? Yeah. So I talked with Peter and Aaron Booth, and we pulled off all the classes that were on there from ABC classes that were taught by those individuals who've left us. And sermons, we've asked those to be taken off, and articles and so on. They shouldn't be on there. They do not. We're listing those men in a prominent position on our website. So we had those taken off. Of course, I've gotten flack because of it. But I've explained to them that we did this because Those individuals are no longer with us. We had to be real nice about it, just said that they belong to another organization, and therefore we've taken them off, and we hope to put new ones up as soon as possible. We're trying to revive Roy's Epistles of Paul.
Well, I might mention, Gary, that we have replaced two of the classes. Matt Fenchel's class on Acts is now back up again. It was replaced by somebody else recently.
Right.
And then, I think, was it Epistles? Mr. Holliday taught Epistles. And his was replaced by someone else recently. Now it's being put back up. So we have recovered two of them. After the end of this school year, we'll probably need to put up new presentations for doctrines, for fundamental beliefs and things like that, to replace those who are pulled off.
Doctrines and Gospels.
Yeah, Doctrines and Gospels. So we will need to repost those.
I just thought I'd let you all know, in case you get anybody asking about it, that's why we did it. So they were taken off, and I just write them, sorry. I wouldn't have a problem listening to those, but I just said it. What goes with it is the fact that you are advertising someone who's no longer a part of your organization.
And if any of you have questions about what's on the website, come see me, and I'll explain why some people are on, why some are off, why some is just audio, some is just video. You know, we've got a kind of a little mini policy of what we've left up. Any other questions or thoughts about media department? This, of course, is not everything. This is just 5 or 10% of what we're doing, but gives you a bit of a snapshot of what's going on. So, Mr. Andy has one more comment.
Yeah, I just wanted to say how pleased I am that we have so many fine, creative young minds working now in the media department, and it really is a joy. They contribute a lot, and they are a force now to be reckoned with, a positive force, including Rudy, who's taking the camera here. But others, they're really creative, and they're lively, and they're up to date, and they're converted. And I'm just really thrilled at the young people that we have.
Yeah, we have a very good team. Mr. Chairman, I'll turn it back to you.
Thank you, Peter.